What?
Hey, what is going on? It is Nick and Darian and Deborah talking about track and field today. And Nike. So, Deborah, bring up the topic that you brought up.
Oh, so the difference with America, I think you have to pay for your jerseys here. Yeah. In Jamaica, we actually get the jerseys from the school, from the brands, because we endorse them. So my high school, we had Reebok. Yep, as our sponsorship. So we didn't actually buy the jerseys, we got them. And then in return, because our school was good, they got to be shown off. Yeah, so that way they would make money because we would win, wear their jerseys, so people would know about them.
Wait, so y'all had Reebok Spikes too?
Yes.
They got your Spikes?
And Saucony.
Really?
What?
I don't know any high schools in America that will buy you Spikes and buy you jerseys.
Except for IMG.
Well, that's IMG. They're one of the best colleges, or best high schools in the country.
Oh, so we had everything fully made. I think we were the only ones with Reebok. So that was actually a good thing because, you know.
Was everyone else Puma?
Most and Nike.
And Nike?
Did they do Asics too? Or no, Asics?
Asics,
what?
Y'all some people were sponsored by Asics?
No. There was a thing called 360 Degrees, like a sponsorship that most schools had too. So, if that helps.
Yeah, over here we just. What you have to do is you get the sponsor, but you have to pay for all your stuff. So, you don't get stuff for free at all.
Right. No, there was so if there was someone that was keeping the school, the brand, like the name of the brand, if there was one person doing really good, then the brand would stick with you. But if there wasn't anyone to endorse the brand, then they would leave. Because after a time, Reebok left the school.
Right.
So we had to be buying jerseys and stuff. So then we switched to Puma.
See, my high school, we were all, every team chose their brand. But then recently they decided that they wanted to be an all Adidas school and every team was going to have to be Adidas. So what they did was they brought in an Adidas rep and everybody had to buy. Every team had a certain amount of money they could spend on jerseys and stuff. And they had to pick out what jerseys they wanted and everything. Everybody had to pay. And not the athletes didn't have to pay, but the schools had to pay within their budgets. So it's good. It's not
for us, it's basically most sports were with Nike. But if, let's say there was lacrosse chose Warrior, and then track chose Asics for all their stuff for, the year and everything like that. So, if you played football, you were a Nike, but, you only had, certain sports that would choose their brands, like Nick said, but most chose Nike because Nike was better. So.
Every sport had a different, sponsor. So not one sponsor was in charge of every sport.
It's just that you guys got everything for free. And
yes.
We just got provided a jersey and shorts.
Yeah, we had to pay for the.
If we wanted Spikes, we could buy our own Spikes. Everything else.
Or you do the pay to play, where
we had to pay $500.
Yeah.
To play high school sports.
And it goes towards your gear and everything.
Yeah.
And if you lose your gear, you have to still pay for the gear.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's the same thing here. Basically, because. If you're kicked off the team, don't you have to return the gears?
Mm-mm.
Yes, you do.
Just not the stuff that was given to you for free.
Yeah.
So there's certain things you have to return.
The school's jersey.
Yeah,
you have
to give back the jerseys. That's what you got to give back. Because Jeremiah kept their
sweatshirt.
Yeah, their sweatshirt and the tights.
He gave back the bag. Then he didn't wear.
He didn't give back the bag.
Alright, now we'll move on to individual sponsorship of athletes. So Nike. So I'm pretty sure every athlete in Jamaica is Puma that runs pro.
I'm not sure, but there was a big controversy where one athlete was wearing something from Adidas, I think.
Really?
He was wearing a watch because he's sponsored by.
I know there's one girl. Isn't there one girl from Jamaica and she's a long jumper or something and she's with Nike.
I'm not sure, but Yohan Blake, he was sponsored. Well, I think he's sponsored by
Adidas.
And once he was wearing, I think, a Nike watch or something.
Mm-hmm.
Does Nike make watch?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then it was a big thing because you're not supposed to be wearing a Nike thing if you're sponsored by Adidas. So that was really epic.
Yeah, because if they see that,
mm-hmm.
you're
so it was all over the news.
There's, I don't know, I think that the payment of sponsored athletes is not high, like they're, how much money they're getting. Because, you know, if, unless you're really good, you're not. If you can run under the Nike brand and get like the free clothes and stuff, because they're already making it, but I feel like to actually make a living running pro track, that you have to be like winning Diamond League and stuff like that.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, because there was, somebody got dropped by one of their sponsors and had to pick up another sponsor. I'm not sure if that was Tyson Gay or somebody else.
Why?
I don't know. Because, like, he wasn't running for about a year, and they dropped him.
Oh, so if you're not running, then the sponsor, your sponsor will drop you because mm-hmm. you're not showing off their...
Right.
Yeah.
I just think that it's just, I mean, like, they pay big money when you make it to the Olympics, that's when you pick up sponsors, but, like, it says here that, like, if you're ranked one in the world, you're getting $25,000. If you win the Olympics, you're getting $150,000. Like, yeah, that's a lot for, like, a normal person working an everyday job, but, like, I feel like...
It's not enough.
If you're a pro athlete,
yeah,
and you're running all year round...
That's really not enough for, right. like... Because
you have to, like, you have to perform to get paid.
Exactly.
You're not, it's like running without a paycheck. You're training all year with no funds.
And there were,
and
like...
you perform.
I remember.
Hopes of getting funded.
In Jamaica, 2015, two athletes were barred from competing at the pen relays because they were underage. Like, you have to be 18. That's the legal age in Jamaica. So they were signed to a company called Digicel, which is a phone company.
Mm-hmm.
So the company sponsored them when they were in high school, and they endorsed the company by like pulling their shirts off at the end of the race with the company's name. You're not supposed to do that. So they were barred from competing at the pen relays, which is almost similar to the Nike thing. So they're not allowed to run in America at all because they had... What was the name? I think they had a big sponsor with them, so they weren't allowed to sign anything under the age of 18.
What?
It was weird because they wanted to come to America for scholarship deals, high school,
yeah.
but they're not. They cannot come to America to go to school, and it's been like 3 years, almost 4 years, and they're still in Jamaica.
Yeah, that's weird.
I think it's just hard for track and field athletes to gain endorsements, like. Like, for instance, like, if you're a snowboarder in the Olympic Games, you can put anything on your bottom of your snowboard.
And
they'll show it off
yeah.
no matter what, at every angle, every trick you do. And you're, like, Sean White, he's an All-American. It says he made $20 million winning the Olympics last year because of all the endorsements he had. But being a track athlete, the only thing people see are basically your spikes. That's all they care about. Like... Bolt with the gold spikes was probably the only thing that people notice, really. I don't know. It's just...
Matt Bowling just ran a 10-1.
Yeah.
Who?
His high school senior ran a 10-1.
Oh, the...
The
yeah.
It's all over
yeah,
Facebook
yeah.
and Instagram. Like...
He runs like a
44
second
400. I thought that was Austin in the race with him, the guy in the blue.
The dude, I was like, damn,
because
Austin.
He listened to Fan Entertainment.
Huh?
Fan Entertainment.
I
you
saw
talk
it.
About how this is all over Facebook, a video.
It was all. It's all over Instagram, but I thought it was like before, like
the
I was
video,
looking at it today.
What's his name? Matthew Bowling.
I don't know the
name.
Yeah.
His name. He runs a 10.1 second 100 meter, and he's 18 years old.
Yeah, I was like appalled, and he does 49 in the 4.
And he does faster than that.
And he jumped 8.01 in long jump.
I think he does a...
That's
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah, and he's just an all-around athlete. Let's look him up.
I mean... Well, like, that's the thing. By the time he gets to college...
He's gonna be burnt out?
He's coming to the University of Georgia.
I wouldn't say he'll be burnt out. People will expect more from him.
Oh, yes.
Like, he's got a... He runs a... 46.15
in the 4?
In the 400 meter, which is insane.
It is.
For an 18-year-old. He ran that as a junior, so he ran that when he was 17.
And the 801 that he jumped.
He jumps 26 feet, 3.5 inches in there.
That's
the long jump. He jumps. He high jumped 6'7" last year.
What height is that?
6'7" is 2-point-something meters.
Oh, that's crazy.
What was Christian Coleman running at?
Not that
you cannot look at people when they're younger and when they're older, because it really changes.
He may be burnt out by the time he gets to college.
And he runs a 20.58 in the 200 meter.
There is this one American kid that everyone was talking about him, but now no one even remembers
him. Chance Myers?
No, keep calling American names and I'll tell you.
He's probably from Georgia. It's probably a kid that went to Baylor.
What's his name?
He plays football.
I know that school, Baylor.
He ran like a 10.06, I think.
Name?
In Hassan High School.
The wide receiver?
Yeah.
I know who you're talking about.
Let's see if I can find him.
He's good. I'm not going to argue. He's really, really good.
He's got the world record in the 60-meter.
That's just the 60-meter.
True, but he has a world record.
And even the kid from Canada.
Andre? Andre DeGrasse.
Where is he?
He was supposed to be the next bull.
He's all talk and nothing else. I remember.
He does not look like the next bull. I wouldn't see him.
I remember when it was, I think, World Championship was when he was like, oh, I'm going to crush Bolt. And then he didn't even show up.
He took second.
He didn't show up at one of the championship. He just pulled out.
You know who I think could get close to Bolt?
Who?
Like, this kid from LSU is nice.
Name?
What's his name? The one who
Jerron?
Yeah.
He ain't getting close. Jerron Flournoy. And that leads us into Houston versus LSU 4x1. It does.
Yep, that was epic.
It does. It's a great transition.
I'm just confused on why people don't think track should be aggressive.
Should be, but not.
Well, let's explain the situation.
It should be aggressive.
So there was a video of LSU's versus Houston, the 4x1. Houston is the defending national champion in the 4x1. I believe the Division I 4x1. The video is Houston gets the handoff in the lead, and then LSU is second. LSU's anchor, Jerron Flournoy, who is from Michigan, I believe, he takes a baton and he hunts down.
Took off.
He took off and hunted down Houston's anchor, and then coming across the finish line.
Just
got in his face.
I wouldn't say he got in his face.
He looks pretty close to me.
He touched him.
They were pretty close, and the kid knew he got beat, and then Jerron Flournoy. He explains himself that it was just the dog coming out in him.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I think you should there is a point when you can be like really excited but don't touch like.
I mean,
it breeds competitions. I feel like he was just hyped up that any track runner gets hyped up, any person gets hyped up when you see someone come from behind and take over and win from behind.
What's his name? There's an American athlete. He now does bobsleighing. He beat Usain Bolt once.
Did he?
Yes, on the 4x1. And he was like this after he won. He cut his throat. Like, he beat Usain. And it was really an interesting thing because he came to Jamaica like the next year, months after to race, and he lost. And the entire stadium was booing him, like everyone was booing him.
Probably. But Jerron Flournoy, I read an article and it says that he told the reporter that he goes to track every day knowing he's the best. And so going into that, he says that. And I'll look up his times here real quick. He says that. He's the best person in the country. And obviously he's not.
Self-praise is no praise at all. Trust me. He's
but
not
my
the
thing
best.
Is, for every track athlete, if you step on a track, you should think you're the best.
Yes.
And that's why you should be competing like he did. And you should be a dog like he tried to be. But like you can't, because a lot of people are saying track shouldn't be aggressive like that. It's good to see track get aggressive like that.
I think it brings fans in because
everybody
thinks
does.
A track is like it's a non-contact,
and
nothing happens.
It's a soft type of sport.
Yeah,
I think it does, because if you watch boxing, you like to see people talk crap about other people, right? Be up all in their face and stuff. That's where the vibe comes in. So people will watch because they want to see, like, what really happens. So I believe it should be, but not to a certain extent. Don't touch a person.
I mean...
But they didn't fight. He was just bringing out that... he was showing out that, like, he's good. Yeah. And he, like, he's... 7th in the country right now in the 100 meter, which is pretty good.
I'm betting they're real good friends.
Real good friends right now.
Thought so.
I mean, but it wasn't... They said that 4x1 was an all-freshman 4x1.
For LSU?
For Houston.
Might have been.
Then if it's all-freshman, there's nothing to boast about.
Exactly. The only thing that he boasted about was that he caught him from behind.
Yeah.
That's nothing, because it wasn't, like, a long lead.
He's from Detroit. Jerron is from Detroit.
That's why.
He went to...
Okay.
What's that supposed to be? He's from Westland John Glenn.
He went to John Glenn. Yeah. He ran from Motor City.
He probably did. Motor City tracked it up.
Well, it was pretty intense.
I mean, that's the stuff I want to see him track.
I do, too. It was amazing.
Well,
now we'll move to a more negative aspect of track and field. The 2020 qualifying times for the Olympics.
I need to see that.
For the U.S. So it says here that the U.S. qualifying times are a 10:05 in the 100 meter.
Wait, the U.S., like, is there different times based
just
on...
Just to go to the U.S. trials. This is just to go to the U.S. trials.
Oh. Are you sure that's the U.S. or is the entire...
This is from a tweet. From Paul Chelimo, who's an American Olympic athlete.
Well, that doesn't mean it's only American. I've seen tweets, like,
This could just be the Olympic ones, then.
Yeah.
Well, it says to qualify, you have to run 10:05, which I know two people in college that are running that.
Yeah, not a lot of
people. It's one kid from Oregon, Craven Gillespie. And then, I think, Demek Kemp? I think he's Jamaican.
Who?
Demek Kemp.
Let me see. The name?
He goes to South Carolina State University. So he runs a 10:03.
Shut my phone.
Look him up.
Well, like...
And a lot of athletes are furious because...
These times are...
Yeah, there's an article that came out that says that track and field is just killing itself by coming out with these... outrageous times and not breeding competition. It's just breeding that because I feel that they know that competition drives them.
This is why people will think they need dope to cope, because the times are, like, ridiculous.
Oh, he's from the U.S. No,
I'm saying the times are ridiculous. Like, how are they expecting people to just, like, pop up and just run the times?
Mm-hmm.
So this will, I'm not saying it should, but I think people will, like, dope up.
Times.
And that's crazy.
A lot of people are definitely in young drugs just to try to make that time.
And that's where it's the negative part.
But I think that's where they're going to try to catch people that they haven't caught for doping.
Is running these times?
Is trying to say, okay.
You weren't doing it before.
Yeah, so we can push this stuff up. Push these times, like, to 10:05.
Push people to drive it. It just...
Yeah.
I feel like it's just, like, when we go to qualifying for the U.S., that nobody's... That even to go to qualifying, nobody's going to be able to hit it. Like, you have to run these times to qualify, and I feel like if only 6 people in the country are running those times, it's not even going to be... It's not even going to be fun for the qualifying. Like, you have to... I don't know, it's just stupid.
Yeah, they need to, it should have been like 10:06 again, so that we could see some
I just
more
feel like that would bring more competition.
Yeah.
And the women's time?
Is like
11:15.
Are there any women running that time now?
Mm. In the U.S., there's some, some run 10 seconds.
Exactly, and you guys are one-sided. You guys only think about the men. Like, the women have, like... There's a lot of women. You cannot only think... Men are the only ones that people watch.
In Division One, there's only...
Like...
2 girls running under 11:15. Or 11:15 or under.
What are their names?
Katia Seymour and Kayla White.
Katia?
Yeah, Cod-T.
But you have girls in Division 2, like, they're running, like, it's not all Division 1 athletes. You guys have to think about it. The ones that are on top now, they're not always going to be there.
On top, yeah.
There are people, like, you don't even see, and then they just pop up. So you can't just be like, oh, Division 1 athletes. You have good D2 athletes, D3 athletes, and...
I'm just saying that brings us into our next segment. Division 1 times versus Division 2 times. Is it possible that a Division 1 athlete could run Division 2?
Yes.
For example, Mason?
Yeah, it's possible. Like, it's really possible. I've seen people, like, transition from junior college to D1.
That's different, though.
Yeah, like, not really junior college, but, like, people that goes to junior college, you consider them to be, what, D3?
Junior college is its own thing.
Yeah, it's
like, its own thing.
Yeah, so it's own league, it's own division. People. It's NJCAA.
Yeah.
Because I have a cousin who went to Barton Community College, and she's now going to a D1 school. But when she was at Barton, they used to do, like, run with D2 schools.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, JUCO is just usually because either you don't have the grades or you didn't have the exposure. You know what I'm saying?
But
like, Chance Myers, he's from East Kentwood.
His grades were
absolutely awful, and when he broke the state record in the 200, they asked him where he was running at school, and he was like, I'm running at this community college in Mississippi, and they're like, well, why are you going there? And he's just like, oh, I thought there was a great atmosphere, and like, no, your grades were awful. But he ended up breaking the
Didn't he run a 19?
No, he ran a 20.02 at the national championship and broke the national junior college record. And he's going to University of Kentucky next year.
I know a lot of people. It's not because of grades, because, you know, it's not like SATs is offered in America in schools. It's not offered in Jamaica in schools. So you have to find your own time to do the SATs. Mm-hmm. So most people, it's really expensive. It's like $1,000, and that's a lot of money in Jamaica. So if you're going to do it, then you have to pay that amount. If you don't want to, then you have to find a junior college. It's not that you don't have grades. You just don't have the SAT grades that is required.
Right.
And America doesn't use other countries' grades.
Yeah, we don't take
standards. So then, even if you're really good in school, you have to go to junior college. You don't have a choice.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've heard people say junior college is probably one of the best decisions I've made because it pushed me to be the better athlete.
Well, it also allows you to get your grades ready. It introduces you to college.
Yeah.
It's just easier. So it prepares you. Like, sometimes I'm like, man, I wish I went to, like we have community college by us. I'm like, sometimes I was like, maybe get some college courses done early. You know what I'm saying? Just so I can prepare. And, like, they're handling it a lot better.
Junior college athletes?
Yeah.
I mean, but
Because they don't get the stuff we get.
Yeah, and it's...
They don't get the luxuries we get.
It's a lot of... You see a lot of athletes actually come out of junior colleges now. Like,
a lot of Division I football players.
Yeah.
Because they don't offer full scholarships in junior college.
Yeah, they do.
They offer full scholarships?
I mean, because junior college is basically ran by, like, the, cities and everything.
Because when I was looking to go to Barton, they were like, oh, we only offer half scholarships.
I got a full ride at Macomb Community College. I didn't go because I'm like, community college. I didn't know what happens when you go to community college. I didn't know anything about community colleges.
Okay. Yeah, but not. It's like Jimmy Butler, he went to community college.
Then he went to Marquette.
Yeah, then he went to Marquette. Then now he's in the league. You see that more than anything nowadays. But that's because, like,
with track and field, you don't see, like, big name athletes. Nobody cares about where you come from.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. Like, yeah, sure, you have a story, but, like, the only thing they care about in track is your time.
Yes.
That's the only thing anybody cares about.
It's
and
not
if you
like
can't run
sports.
That time, if you run that time one time and you can't do it again,
like,
you might lose a sponsorship. You're not losing anything.
I think too much, there isn't, like, D1, everyone, there's a big spotlight on D1. There isn't that much big of a spotlight on D2. That's why people think, oh, D1 is better than
D2. Well, funding for D1 is a lot higher. So, like, as we talked about, like, the Nike sponsorship, like, they get free spikes and stuff like that. Most like big schools. Like I know Oregon will give everything to.
Because they have a really pretty good team.
Yeah, well, they've historically been one of the best track teams ever.
Exactly. So, and the same thing that they always talk about, like, why doesn't Grand Valley be like a D1 school? Because they're really good. They can match up to like the times they're doing at the school can match up to like D1
times.
Third
distance.
They have a pretty good team.
Their sprints aren't all of that.
Yeah.
Like, they have pole vaulting too. Like
they said this year, they got a sprinter who could run like 6.7, and he was nowhere on the map. Like he ran like 6.9.
A lot of kids left because the coach went to D1, so they all followed him.
I was thinking if that was a thing too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's different transferring from D2 to D1 because your credits could get messed up.
Especially at school like Northwood. Like we're so specific, our courses are so specific that if we wanted to transfer, we'd get screwed over, I would think.
We'd have to start all over?
We'd get screwed over because our courses, we start our major. We don't have any prerequisites. So like normally your freshman year is like all like getting you, just taking gen eds. Basically, so like English and math, and we go straight into marketing.
Yeah, they don't. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm. So like, and our classes are they're so different. Like a lot of classes won't have publications and communications and sports.
Yeah.
So like your major might not transfer, your credits might not transfer, and just like.
So like that's why if you go to a school like GV, it's easier for you to transfer to D1, or like Ash. Because
they're just a general. So they're a public university.
Yeah.
You know,
so, like, if Miles Pringle wanted to go D1, he can go D1 any day.
Yes.
He just hasn't made the choice to go D1.
But
so he just finished out and became one.
If he goes to D1, there's going to be a lot of pressure.
If he did, yeah.
If there's a good athlete at D2 and then you go to D1, there's going to be a lot
there's
of pressure.
There's expectations,
yes.
I mean, but he just torched some D1 athletes in Arizona.
He is
in a four. So
he's good.
He's the greatest, one of the best D2. He's been named the greatest D2 athlete to ever come out.
Because I've seen him a lot on their sports sites. Yes. They talk about him a lot.
They love him. He is a national record holder in the 400.
For the U.S.?
For the D2.
Yeah.
For D2.
What time?
45. It's Division 2. Oh, he's running that fast.
Okay.
Exactly. Time.
But I mean, like, that doesn't mean he can't run fast.
But he also... He's brought a lot of attention to that university.
Actually.
He's brought in.
Even this kid, I remember he was whooping asses everywhere. Fred Curley?
Fred Curley had the national record for 1 year.
43, right?
43, 40 or something like that.
Where is he?
He's running pro for Nike.
And another guy, he is awesome. You called his name earlier.
Michael Norman. He broke the records a year later. He broke Fred Curley.
He goes to...
He went to USC, then he...
No, he's. I think he's just running pro.
He just runs pro now.
Let me get this straight. So if you're going to a university and then you go pro, you cannot run for the...
If you sign a contract or a sponsorship,
you cannot run for the school.
That's why when you do, like, your eligibility for the NCAA, they ask you if you've ever been, like, sponsored by any brands or anything like that.
This is why Sydney McLaughlin doesn't run anymore.
No, she took a New Balance contract.
Oh, okay.
She has a lot of money. She's
She got paid a mil.
She did get paid a mil.
But... The thing is, the good part about that is because they offer to pay for schooling, too.
So you can finish out.
Yeah.
See, like, if you're, like, a big... If you've performed in college, you're going to get paid.
Yeah.
If you go pro, if you're good enough to go pro, like, leave school and go pro, you're going to get a big contract because you can perform.
So what's...
Like, she left her freshman year.
And now she can pay the million.
Yeah.
And
all she does is train.
And her, like, school, everything for Kentucky is paid for. Mm-hmm. So she doesn't have anything to worry about as long as she gets her degree.
Because I saw another girl, like, she wanted to leave a university to go to another one, Tamari. Or is it not her?
Tamari Davis?
Yes.
She's,
and they wouldn't allow her.
She's from Florida. She's very fast. High school.
I know. You don't have to tell me about her. I know a lot about her. She wanted to go to another school, but they... Is it
transfer?
Her? Yeah, but the contract didn't... allow her, like, they wouldn't let her go.
Well, there's a lot of things in high school sports where, like, if you, like, Michigan, you can't transfer schools without it being, like, athletically motivated. So, like, if the MHSAA
finds out that you left
to go play sports somewhere, you could be banned for, like, you could be barred from sports for a year.
Oh, she wanted to leave, but the contract I think the one that she signed wouldn't allow her to leave before a certain time.
Yeah.
So I don't think she's able to run for the school. I don't know if the contract was settled or something.
She's very fast.
Tamari? She did 23-something indoors.
23.06. 23.24 indoors.
Yes.
She runs 22.48 outdoor her freshman year of high school.
And she broke the record last year
high school?
World Juniors.
Oh, yeah. Probably.
She broke the record. I think it was Tamari Davis.
She runs a 55 in the
11.11 or 11.0-something.
11.19 she ran in high school. I'll look up her.
And then she didn't win the finals, though, because a Jamaican girl snipped her on the line. But she broke the record. But no one... She still has a record. She's really good.
11.13, that's her fastest.
For our high school, yeah.
Yes, that was her record, I think, 11.13. And then she ran slower in the finals.
She could definitely go to the Olympics.
Yeah.
We can touch up on fan entertainment just for a little bit. Just to finish.
What would that be like?
Like Jamaica, how we'll talk about like how like youth sports and youth track and field is such
a big thing.
How many people? Like, do a lot of people go to like the big stadiums? Like the.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
It was.
How many people would you say are in a meet to come watch?
It was in March, and there were thousands of people. Like Americans were all there because they want to recruit students, and there was this coach from Texas Tech. You can look up him.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to get athletes to go to the school. He wants to get a lot of Jamaicans to go there. So it's really a big event in March. Like all the schools, the top schools.
So it's like a big recruiting thing.
It's like nationals here.
Okay.
Yeah. And the times are pretty much D1 times.
Yeah. Okay. So how many, you'd say thousands of people, right?
Thousands of people.
The only thing.
Kitley West.
State finals in Michigan is probably the biggest thing you'll ever see. If you ran high school track in Michigan, that's the biggest thing you'll see.
And
I'd say 4,000 people. Like that's where everybody goes. And
4,000.
4,000 is not enough for you.
Mm-mm.
No, so that's probably
for states. It wasn't 4,000.
Can I borrow?
It was less than that. You think?
It was less.
All right, probably we'll say 2,000 maybe.
Cause.
And then the biggest things you'll see are just maybe nationals. Have a lot of people.
Yeah, nationals.
D1 nationals is probably the biggest thing they have. I don't even think.
But even at D1 nationals, not a lot of people
I don't even think our U.S. qualifying times qualifiers have that many people there.
They don't.
But in a country, it's like soccer. It's growing. But track and field, I don't think is growing in America.
It's going down.
It's dormant. It's they don't do anything to promote it. AAU, I ran AAU this summer, and I was fortunate to see, there's a lot of youth, but...
Nobody really comes to watch it.
But nobody comes.
Which is bad.
Or in Jamaica, it's that's the sport.
Everyone's there. Everyone's there.
That's the big event.
But you gotta realize how many sports we have.
Yeah, we have so many. It's just but in Jamaica, I feel like that's the sport to play, not soccer, not anything.
Oh, that is one of the sports.
Track and field is.
It depends. Track and field is the overall sports because it's both boys and girls.
Yeah.
But then you have soccer boys, and then you have a sport netball for girls. So it depends on what sport.
Right.
But back then, for America, track and field was big. Now it's not really.
Yes,
We had Michael Johnson, I feel like it was the biggest it's ever been.
Yeah.
Just because he was. Breaking everything. Jesse Owens.
But it's been a minute since
we haven't had any big name athletes that have.
There is one athlete. He's biased and I don't really like him much.
An athlete?
Yes. Carl.
Carl Lewis?
Yes. He's a really
biased
person.
Guess who he's
friends
with?
Who?
Michael Roberts, our NFL coach.
I don't like him. He's a very biased person. You have to accept the fact that there will always be someone greater than you are.
Always.
Yeah.
In the end, there's going to be someone better.
Huh?
There's always going to be someone better.
Exactly. And then he's like, Usain Bolt is on drugs because no one can run that fast.
I mean,
he was on drugs. Carl Lewis was on drugs. That's why he didn't participate for a certain time. He was like, MIA. Why? Because he didn't want to be tested positive.
Mm-hmm.
So, people they need to accept, someone will always be better than me, blah, 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 blah. But he doesn't want to accept the fact. And because of that, I don't think I'm a fan of him. He talks too much. So much punch in his mouth.
I mean, but I ain't gonna lie, the man can find talent like it's nothing.
Who?
Carlos.
He's got a pretty good time.
He's an Olympian.
Yeah,
so
I know.
He can find, just him having that stature can bring in athletes.
To this school?
No.
Mm-mm. To Houston.
To Houston. He doesn't even get paid, he just does it for fun. Because he's made so much money out.
I'm trying to find how many people or holes in the stadium, because there were like 3,000 athletes only.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so just imagine if there's 3,000 athletes.
There'd only be 400 athletes at track meets.
Huh?
Here. It'd only be 400.
Like 400 at the state.
Yeah.
And like the times that are winning, you have groups. So you have like
elite and stuff like that.
No, you have like age groups.
Yeah.
So you have four classes.
Mm-hmm.
So you have for boys, it's 10 to 12.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have 13 to 15.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have 16 to 18.
19. Okay.
Yeah. And then for girls, you have 11 to 13, 14 to 16, and then 17 to 18. There is a group between, I got it wrong, because there are four classes for girls and three for boys, because girls tend to, like, develop faster than boys.
Right.
So the girls, like, the 13-year-olds are running, like, 12-2, 12-1, and, like, the 16-year-olds are running like 11-1, 11-flat, yeah. And 200s, they're doing like 22-8, because that's the record for the Jamaican age 16. And the boys, they're doing 20.2.
Hmm.
And in the 100, they're
that's
doing...
Just, that's just amazing, because like that's probably what draws fans in. It's
exactly.
Just, it's seeing these times being ran at this such a young age.
Yeah.
Whereas in like high school sports in America, no one's there's rarely there's like one out of every like 3,000 kids will run that fast.
I mean, but that's because America really doesn't push it.
Right.
Like
no one's running track. Like I you ask any American athlete how long they've been running track and field, like any like freshman in college that's running track and field, they'll say probably like
2 years.
Four years maybe.
Since high school.
That's where you first start to run.
High school is what, 3 years?
4 years.
I mean, this is my second year running track, so.
Really?
Yeah, it's my
interesting.
Third.
I've been running track all my life.
Exactly.
So, because you are trained. You're not really trained, but your mind is like set. So you start doing it from your like five, you like the vibe
because
you're pushed. And then you get like, the coaches, like, they like what they see. They train you towards a certain goal. And then your mind just, even if you want to stop, you cannot stop. Because it's, like, drilled in your mind to just do track. Like, that's how you see it.
Because
I know people, like, they're really, they don't really love the sport like me. But they're really good. So, they do
it.
They
keep doing
it.
Yeah.
Yes. So, that's, it's because your mind has been, like,
set on this.
Set on doing the sport. So, you might not love it, but you just do it.
I mean, but, like, that's the thing here. Sports aren't pushed on kids anymore.
Competition
isn't.
Like, there's give, any, like, it's not as a mass, like.
And you give.
You wouldn't see, like, big groups pushing towards competing. Like, you have to be driven yourself.
And you give kids participation awards just for getting, like, ninth place.
Because you guys are
like,
soft. You guys are really soft.
I wasn't raised like.
No,
I
mean, like, no. Like, you guys are soft. If the coach says, fix
Americans.
This. You guys are going to complain. Like, he's only telling you guys so that you can be better.
Yeah.
But you guys just, you don't get it. Because you guys are like...
soft?
Yes. You don't like people talking too hard to you. Because it makes you feel like hurt.
You must be talking about the majority of Americans. Because...
Yes.
Yeah, that's why. That's why people won't get better. Because they don't want anyone telling them what
like,
to do.
I'm doing my best.
Exactly.
I've
been here for almost a year and I cannot understand. You go to a meet, you post pictures everywhere. You didn't do shit. Why are you posting pictures? You have to like train yourself. You didn't do good. I'm not gonna post pictures.
Only post with a gold medal. That's the only post. That's the only
It's disturbing. I don't like seeing it. Like, come on. You have to do good to let people. You post pictures. Someone was like, How much did you get?
Everybody
I didn't do that. My time was shit. You don't post pictures to tell people your time was shit. You post pictures to tell people, like, yeah, I did good. Come on. I hate seeing it.
Only people today, everybody just does it for the Instagram, dude. They just want to show, oh, I run track here. How was your time? Oh, I took, like, 70 out of 75.
It's stupid. It gets on my nerves. I don't like seeing it. And I really, really hate seeing it. I'm not going to tell you how much I hate seeing it. I think people only go to games so they can take pictures and be like, oh, yay, I'm in blah, blah, blah. I do track. See me in my jersey. That's not nice.
That is interesting because you see football players take pictures in their uniforms all the time.
Red-shirted.
And, yeah. So a lot of Northwood football players do that.
Okay. And they're shit.
We're sending fucking shots.
I'm not going to lie. I think almost everyone at Northwood, all they think about is taking pictures, posting in their uniforms like, oh, I do football, I do track, I do soccer, blah, 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 blah.
But they don't focus on their performance.
Anymore. Yeah, focus on your performance. I saw something on Instagram which I posted yesterday.
Let your performance do the talking. Don't just do it for the Instagram.
Yeah, don't do it for Instagram. Like, come on. I've seen people here. The coach talks to you, you want to cry. What the fuck? He's trying to help you. Oh, sorry. He's trying to help you. Like,
we're gonna edit that.
Suck it
now.
Up. I can train by myself. I get the fact that coach isn't always gonna be there. My motivation is like intrinsic. It's not. I don't care about what you have to say about me. I'm gonna do it because I don't like losing. Yeah, I don't like losing. And if I did a time, I want to have a better time the next run I do. So I don't get how people like someone else talk affects them.
My like whole mentality is, all right, you give us a workout, 2200s. This shit ain't gonna be easy.
I might not do the 22, but I'm gonna do like what makes me feel like I've done something.
Yeah, like I'm probably gonna complain at first, but then I'm like, all right, I'm at the line. I gotta do what I gotta do to get better. I'm gonna work for this. I'm not just gonna bullshit and say, oh, I don't wanna work. Like, you gotta do what you gotta do to get better.
I'll do it. There's times when I'll do everything, and then there's time when I just don't wanna do anything.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, on the day that we compete, I'm gonna put my all in because I don't like losing. And if I lose, I'm not gonna blame coach or someone. It's all my fault. I'm the one that went to run. So, yeah, I don't get how you guys, like, blame other people for your stupid shit. Anyways, are we done here?
Any final comments?
No, but, what are the topics again?
Sports business, fan entertainment, and statistics.
So you close out with a sports business?
We already did.
No. Oh, we closed out? No, like, year. I mean, like a big closing, like, to just go over everything that
sure.
we did. Yeah.
Okay.
So, today we talked about, basically, how sports business and how
sponsorship how sponsorship
and endorsements are handled, like,
within
differently.
Athletes. For athletes.
Yeah.
Talked about how Nike deals with its athletes, the money that's involved with sponsoring an athlete. We talked about how athletes need to perform in order to get their money. We talked about fan entertainment. We talked about the LSU Houston situation, the viral video. We talked about fan bases within
America,
track and field,
and
America versus a country like Jamaica where it's the main sport.
Difference between D1 and D2 times.
The athletes.
We talked about regards to statistics, we talked about how the Olympic qualifying times
and the times were
controversial.
We
talked about the Division I times versus Division II times. Talk about anything really else.
Basically, that's it.
All right. Well, I'm Nick Morrison.
Deborah Wallace.
Darian Randolph.
And that's our podcast.